Hello there, 646. You're with Arnold Gay, Yasmin Yonkers. It's time to talk about the psychological impact of isolation. And we're going to be bringing on Arnold, a gentleman that we've become close to here on CNA 938.
That's right.
And he's the first coronavirus patient that we've ever spoken to.
That's right. His name is Simon Gavouche. And he, you know, talked to us last week. You know, he shared his experiences, you know, before and after being admitted. And you know what? He joins us again today. Good morning on the show. Simon, good to have you back.
Good morning, Arnold.
Hello. How's it been? A week for you so far. How are you feeling, first of all?
Yeah, so since we last spoke, my symptoms more or less went away. So that's a good thing, definitely a good thing. Just to recall, my symptoms were very mild from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So since then, I've been moved to a shared ward with others who are recovering from mild symptoms. So apologies for speaking a little softer than last time. I don't want to wake up everybody in the same ward.
I see. Well, you're doing well. Yeah, we can still hear you. That's all right. Okay, just hang on the line there, Simon. I just want to introduce someone else that we are having on the line too. It's Dr. Patrick Wanners, who's a human behavior expert, and he speaks with us from Miami, Florida. Dr. Wanners, hello. Thank you for joining us from so far away.
Thank you.
Nice to hear from you. Okay, let's ask you a question. Simon apparently has become a little better after a week, but I guess it's been tough for you mentally, huh, Simon? Can you just describe what you've been experiencing to Dr. Wanners, and let's see what he has to say.
Sure. So I spent around 1 week in full isolation, basically. I'm sure different people take it differently. For me, it was not so difficult. But I think the biggest, element of stress here is really uncertainty. You know, you don't know how long will you stay in the hospital before you test negative. So that's one thing. On top of all this, we face a lot of uncertainty in the outside world. And there is a sense, you know, that you're not really in control what's going on. And that every morning you wake up in a whole new world, which is getting more and more surreal. And I think that adds a lot to the stress. You don't know what the ramifications will be, even when you finally make it out of the hospital.
All right, Simon, let's pause there and have Dr. Wanners respond.
Can you summarize what he said? Because the line isn't clear. So all I heard, I couldn't understand what he was actually saying.
Dr. Wanners, basically Simon was describing the uncertainty of not knowing how long he would have to stay in isolation, of not really knowing, what's happening. He has a firm outside a startup, and there's uncertainty about what's going to happen with that as well. So really, it's not knowing what's going to happen next.
All right. So I would say to Simon the same thing that I said, everyone. We're all experiencing an uncertainty because we don't know when the actual virus itself will end. When is the ending? Number one. Number two, we're all in the same position of constant uncertainty. What is happening with me? What is happening with my business? What is happening with my job? What is happening with my finances? So for Simon and for everyone else listening, get clear about what you can control. I understand, Simon, why you're concerned about your startup business and your finances. That makes sense. Only put your energy on what you can control, and you can only control your thoughts and your emotions. You don't know when it's going to end. So be careful of giving in to fear and anxiety. You can't control that ending. All you can do is say, how can I use this time wisely, even if I am completely alone? And I would say, relive wonderful experiences, relive positive, successful experiences, and start thinking as if the virus is going to end very soon. So what are your plans when you get out of hospital? What will you be doing differently? How will your life be better as a result of the time that you've had to stop and think about everything in your life?
Dr. Wanners, I'm going to go back to Simon right now. Any of that, those approaches that was proposed there worked for you, Simon, in the last week? Or how else did you deal with the challenges you're facing?
Actually, that's very true, what Dr. Wanners is saying. So I did try to manage this sense of anxiety by taking some initiative into our financial planning with our company, making sure we can survive at least a couple extra months than originally expected, and generally keeping myself well in touch with my team. So that's absolutely true. We have to control whatever we can control right now.
Was there anything different in your approach to dealing with your situation in the last week that wasn't mentioned by Dr. Warnes?
Well, frankly speaking, in my personal case, I don't really see much of a problem with isolation, at least for around a week or so. So that was quite straightforward for myself to handle. I did, in fact, try to control whatever we could, even remotely, even just from the isolation ward. So I think that's actually a fantastic advice for everyone who's listening.
Okay, Dr. Warnes, did you get all that?
I got some of it. I think he said that for him, social isolation isn't a problem, which is great. I think that's fantastic. And that tells me he has a unique temperament. He's probably more of an introvert than he is an extrovert, and he's probably a deep thinker, and so he enjoys some time alone, or he needed a break from how busy he was with all of his business.
Okay. Yeah. So you seem to suggest that an introvert is going to deal with isolation better than an extrovert. So for people who thrive, being with others, who love going to parties, how would you suggest, they handle a situation like what Simon is going through right now?
This is the one time that I'm going to encourage people to use technology to connect with other people. Do video calls, send messages, and you can do it by checking in with people and saying, here's what I'm doing today, what are you doing today? But also use the technology to send someone a message to say, thank you for being in my life. Here is how you've made my life great. So use the technology for meaningful communication and make it a routine. Speak to someone each day. Tell them what you're having for breakfast. This is particularly if you are craving connection. Use a video call. Listen to the person. Share more of yourself, and also tell the other person what you're feeling and what you're experiencing. Allow them to listen to you and to support you.
Simon, did you catch all of that? My goodness. By the way, I'm just going to establish this again. Simon Gavush is a coronavirus patient from his isolation ward in Ng Teng Fong Hospital. Dr. Patrick Warnes is a human behavior expert from California. Simon, have you used technology to actually thank people, to reach out to them in positive ways instead of just, doing business with your technology?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I've been long saying I'm very happy I got my laptop with me. Throughout the entire duration of this time, I was able to stay very well, close in touch with my friends and my family and my my whole social circle. So I'm absolutely certain this is one of the of the most important mitigation strategies in isolation.
Dr. Warnes, I want to ask you as well, from the other side, meaning loved ones, family members who are dealing with a loved one, who is in isolation, how should they be handling the situation? Should they be seeking as much information as possible, trying to stay in touch with the patient as much as possible and be supportive? Or, should there be a dose of reality?
I think there needs to be all three. You want to stay in touch with the person. You want to get the information. You want to be supportive. And the reality comes from getting the information from the doctors. But I think the most important thing is that if you have a loved one that's in hospital or is infected with the virus, use this opportunity to tell them all the reasons that you love them and you care about them, because that's the way to make a deeper connection and a more meaningful connection and relationship with the people in your life. We often wait until it's too late. Don't wait until it's too late. Do it now. Thank someone. Forgive someone. Express gratitude for their presence in your life. Use this opportunity to really deepen and strengthen your relationship with the people that are important in your life. And even as Simon talked about connecting with friends and family and other people, you can also use this time to also thank the people that work for you and work with you. Use this opportunity, because when you are expressing kindness, compassion, and gratitude, not only will the other person feel better, but you will too. And it increases your levels of hope, your levels of optimism, and it gives you a sense of greater meaning, and it makes you feel more secure and safer.
Dr. Patrick Wanis, thank you very much. All that advice, not just for people who are trapped in isolation wards, I think very practical for you and I too, right, Arnold?
Yes, absolutely.
Human behavior expert speaking from the US, Dr. Patrick Wanis. And Simon Gavush, just some final words to you. I know you're very concerned about your business. You're still there, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hi. Yeah. All the very best. Use this time wisely, as Dr. Wanis has recommended. And we certainly hope that you will come out of this much stronger.
Yeah. And don't forget, you have the resilience package to help with your business as well.
Yes, I'm very happy about that.
Okay.
We definitely got more time for ourselves.
COVID-19 patient Simon Gavush speaking with us from Ng Teng Fong Hospital. 6:56.